killed me. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin, in order that it might be shown to be sin, by effecting my death through that which is good, so that through the commandment, sin would become utterly sinful. What a powerful depiction of ultimately the harm that sin causes us. It's not just physical demise here in this world. It's also just the guilt of sin and that upon our lives. And ultimately, even using the commandments of God, which are good and are designed to show us the right way, the right path. But then when sin attracts us and we think that's going to give me long time satisfaction, and so we imbibe of sin, and ultimately then all it does is just bring us death. And the very commandments of God that were intended to then show us the right path, they just turn around and condemn us then, because we have followed sin. And that's what sin does, Paul says. Sin takes something which is good, God's commandments, and perverts them, and ultimately winds up killing you. That's what Paul says. That's what sin does. It affects our death. And ultimately, that's what we're all going to have to one day understand when we stand before God on Judgment Day. And then we're going to see the ultimate harm that sin causes us if we've not been forgiven by Jesus Christ, if we've not turned our lives around and pursued the gospel of Jesus Christ. On Judgment Day, then we will find out the ultimate harm and ultimate detriment that sin causes upon us. Because then we will be forever condemned, separated from our God, separated from all things that are good and right, and instead be punished eternally. That's what sin has as the ultimate end. That's not what you want. That's not what any of us want. I want to say to us this morning that there's absolute joy in righteousness. There's not harm, there's just the opposite. There's absolute joy and benefit and blessing when we are doing those things that are righteous. When we're doing those things that God has commanded, and doing those things that God has commanded in the way that God commanded them, there's absolute joy that comes about from doing that. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 beginning, Peter says, "You were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing." And then he quotes from Psalm 34. He says, "For, as the psalmist said, the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Now notice the very beginning of the quotation back in verse 10. The one who desires life to love and see good days must keep away from all of these things that he lists. You know, when you're doing righteousness, you don't have to worry about getting arrested. You don't really have to worry about that. In fact, Paul goes on to say in verse 13, or rather Peter does, "Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good?" If you're doing those things that are right, generally speaking, the authorities of this world are not going to cause you any trouble. Oh yeah, you read in the New Testament about some times where the authorities were persecuting Christians because they were Christians. But ordinarily, when you do those things God's way, you don't have to worry about getting arrested. You don't have to worry about bad consequences that come about when you are doing those things that are good and those things that are right. You don't have to worry about covering your tracks like you do when you lie and deceive, and then you've got to tell more lies in order to try to cover that deceit. When you do those things that are good, you see good days, as Peter says here. And there's no one to harm you when you do those things that are good and right. There's a joy then in righteousness. And what's the reason? Because God designed us to do right things. That's why it always works out. in that good way. Proverbs 5, verses 18 and 19. The proverb writer extols marriage. He says, "Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. As a loving hind and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love." The idea of marital romance and sexuality is a wonderful thing that God designed. And yet, what does our world do? Our world takes that which is good and then perverts it. And guess what we see in our world? We see people who have departed from what God's word has said, and they've engaged in sexual intercourse outside of marriage, various sexual acts outside of marriage. And what's the result of all that? Venereal disease, unwanted pregnancies, poverty, various kinds of marital issues, all sorts of problems like that that come about. In addition, the condemnation that comes from God and the guilt that we feel deep down in our heart. But if you confine marriage, or rather sexuality, to the marriage bed, everything seems to work out real well. And this kind of joy and this kind of exhilaration that God designed in the proper place, when we do it God's way, we're always the beneficiary. And so that's what I'm getting at. It's that way with all of God's commandments. There's an absolute joy in doing those things that are right. But somebody says, yeah, but being right and doing those right things, it's boring. It's not fun. I don't want to worship God. I don't want to go to church. That's not an enjoyable experience. I remember years ago, when I was a very young teen, I was in that mode of thinking that, you know, the whole idea of going to church, it just boring. Who wants to do that? Wasn't cool to be worshiping. That's the term we used then. I don't know what you kids use now. But at that time, wasn't cool to go to church and to worship. In fact, I kind of did what a lot of teenagers, they still do it today. It's that kind of, well, we worship God through teenage ventriloquism. You know, it's, you know, you try to sing without moving your lips, lest somebody actually observe you singing and worshiping, you know, because you're trying to look cool. Yeah, I was that way. You know what I'm talking about? Praise Him, Jesus, our blessed. You don't want people seeing you sing. It just didn't seem enjoyable to me. That's the way it is with a lot of the teenagers. But you know what happened to me? I got a little bit older, got a little bit of maturity, a little bit. And I began to realize, you know, that worshiping God, there really is something enjoyable about that. And trying to kind of walk with one foot in the church and one foot in the world, I finally began to see that that's really not enjoyable. That doesn't make a lot of sense. In fact, they even cause more problems. And I began to see that there really was something enjoyable, yes, about singing those songs, about worshiping God. And I suppose you could say it's kind of like fine dining. It's sort of an acquired taste, yeah. But that's kind of the way it is. That as you begin to do things God's way, what you begin to realize is that you're getting this, and this isn't something undesirable. Instead, it really is something desirable. And you start receiving the benefit that God intended from it. And ultimately, you start seeing this is something good. That's the way it is with worship. That's the way it is with all of the things that God commands us. Because again, to come back to our original passage, Ephesians 2, verse 10, We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Folks, you were designed to be a follower of Jesus Christ before God ever even created any of us. He designed us to be perfectly suited to follow Jesus, to worship Jesus, to walk in the things of God's Spirit, to do those things that are right and good. He purposely created us so that that is when we fulfill our function, and that's when we're happiest, and that's when things work out for us. He designed everything with that purpose in mind. And that's what we need to pursue. And we dare not let sin deceive us into thinking some perverted way, some altered version of God's plan is going to satisfy us and ultimately make us happy and ultimately give us the things that we want. It's not going to work. This is what God prepared us for. And if we do it God's way, we'll one day thank God that he made us to be this kind of person. Are you here this morning and need to respond to the gospel in some way? Have you been pursuing sinful things? Are you starting to figure it out that pursuit of sinful things, it isn't all it's cracked up to be? It's not working out the way you had hoped? You see what God's trying to show you? I hope that you'll think about that, and if you are ready to make your life right with God, we sure would love to help you do that this morning. Once you come all together, we stand and sing this song of encouragement.